Welcome back to Wonderful World. I'm David. Thank you so much for being a part of this podcast today. And we're going to continue in the direction that we started last week in the Sermon on the Mount, and how the Sermon on the Mount from Jesus in Matthew 5 through 7 points us to a wonderful world, and how we can know the benefit of a wonderful world if we are to follow that as followers of Jesus and the power of it. So appreciate your help and support. I said last week that my oldest daughter was getting married, and she did. She is now Juliana Porter, and it's kind of weird when your daughter changes her last name. It's really, really odd. I don't think I really grasped it all. Even when they said it at the wedding, it made sense because, you know, her now husband Jake, my son-in-law, you know, I've always known him as Jake Porter. So when they said Jake and Juliana Porter, yeah, okay, that makes sense. But it was when I saw it online in like her Instagram or Facebook, I was like, whoa, wow, what? You know, so yeah, really little different life, but awesome. And I was so grateful for the wedding and how everything went, and just the time I got to spend with some family and just enjoy the weekend. So we had a great weekend. A great celebration. If you've ever been planned a wedding and been around that, you're tired for the next week. So still recovering, and so maybe that's why we're a day late on the podcast today, but still recovering, but excited for that. And then my youngest turns 18. I know, if you look at my picture, you're like, how are you old enough to have children? That actually, you probably didn't think that. So that's just my pride thinking that. But my youngest, Jordan, turns 18. Tomorrow, and so happy birthday to Jordan. Oh, you know what I should do? Hold on, I gotta find something, and I'll have to get Jordan to listen to this podcast. This is our family happy birthday that I give them. So let me see if I can play it here. I got it off online one time. It's Stephen A. Smith from ESPN. Let's see. This is dedicated to my son Jordan.
Happy birthday to him. I don't care. Good luck.
So we play that all the time, and yeah, that's one of my favorite things to play for him. So he'll really enjoy that. So happy birthday to him, 18 years old. And so good thing is when your children get older and you do not. And so I'm sure that's exactly the way it's happening. We're going to get into Matthew 5 again today as we discuss the Sermon on the Mount. Last week we talked about the blessed. Blessed are those. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. And we talked about congratulations on being broke. That brokenness actually brings blessing. And so Jesus follows immediately after saying those things. If you remember, he says, you're going to suffer for my sake, but the prophet suffered. And just understand that. And the very next verse, in verses 13 through 16 is our concentration. He says, you are the salt of the earth. So he's telling those. So when he says you, he's referring back to those who have been broken. He's referring back to the poor in spirit. He's referring back to those who mourn. He's referring back to those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, the peacemakers, all the way through. And he said, you are the salt of the earth. And so I take away from this a couple things. I take away that he's saying until you get broken, you really can't be salt. Until you really hunger and thirst for righteousness, you can't be salt. And so I think we generally say, okay, he's saying Christians are this. And I know what we mean by that, but in order to be a true follower of Jesus, you have to experience these things at different levels and different times of your life. And that's when that salt and the light that is displayed really comes out of your life. And so my encouragement to anyone listening to this, you're like, I don't know if I'm gone through all these things. He's bringing you through things. He's allowing you to experience all of this for him and to become more like him, because he wants you to be salt. He wants you to be light. He says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? So we have some reference to seasoning here. We have some reference to flavor. Now, salt does a variety of things, and there are a variety of things we're taught about salt. Salt had value. As a matter of fact, in other economies, and Jesus would have understood this, in other economies, salt was exchanged. There was so much value in salt that you could actually exchange it like you would money. And so salt had incredible value to it. So if we look at it, obviously, we look at the value of God's people to his kingdom. And somebody said one long time ago, it's not that God needs us, it's that he wants us. He wants to, us to, in the value of his kingdom. And so there's value in that. The other thing salt does is preserve. And they would put the salt on the meat, and they still do that. Put salt on the meat, that preserves it and keeps it longer. And how many times in Scripture is there a remnant of believers that are left in order to preserve, in order to sustain things for the kingdom of God? And so there is the sustaining of that as well. So you're the salt of the earth in your value. You're the salt of the earth in your sustaining and your preservation. But he specifically refers to here the flavor. Now, I've had the privilege of living in England for a while. And I think we know this about different cultures. Different cultures have different foods, and therefore flavors are really important to them. The one thing I found about living in England for the time that I did, and being in my family, my parents living there longer than I did, is that their food lacks seasoning as far as in comparison to other cultures. Anytime that you have mushy peas as part of the menu, there's not a lot of flavor, okay? But it just does. It is what it is. I could give you, for instances, I think especially like of sugar. Of course, we're a sugar culture here in America, and I've took a fast in the month of March from sugar, and it's amazing the difference in your body and the difference the way you perceive things. But I tell you one thing that was interesting. We moved to England, and they had these in this donut place or this bakery. In the back of a store, they had eclairs. And they looked incredible, these chocolate eclairs. But, man, I bit into the thing, and it was like biting into soap and blandness because there was hardly any sugar in this. My mom decided for a kids group at our church to make some Kool-Aid. And so she made the Kool-Aid like we always make it, and they were just spitting it out. It was so sweet. So she put half the sugar in it, and they still were like, oh, this is terrible. So she ended up just doing the packet with no sugar. They said, okay, you finally got it right. So the blandness was different. So flavor is really big, and according to where you come from, the seasonings that you put on things. Obviously, some of us could use less salt, but salt is about flavor. He said, so if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? And so if the salt went bad and it didn't get flavor, it was good for nothing, is what he says. You just threw it out, and it was trampled under the foot of men. And by the way, that means that actually instead of giving flavor, it killed, because you would throw the salt on places where you didn't want vegetation to grow, and it would kill the vegetation. So you took something that was once could have been good, and it used to destroy. Boy, there's a real picture there, isn't it? If we lose our flavor, if we lose the seasoning of what we are supposed to be doing, it is actually destructive. And that really encourages me to understand that God's value, the value I am to God is for the kingdom, is to not lose the flavor, because I don't want to be destructive. I want to be helpful. I want to be useful. And so he says, you are the salt of the earth. In the same way, in verse 14, it says, you are the light of the world. So once again, the poor in spirit, the peacemaker, the one who hungers and thirsts for righteousness, the one who even faced persecution, they are the light of the world. We are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hidden. If you're light, you're light. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and gives light to all who are in the house. If you're going to shine, if you're going to turn on a light, you turn on a light for a purpose. Light has a purpose. That's first. And the purpose of light is to reveal. The purpose of light is to reveal direction. Your word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. Your word is, it reveals even what is wrong. As when you if you're trying to look for something or something. Oh, how many times? Oh, come on. Some of you have been here. You're in the middle of the night and you either hear something, right, over in the corner of the house, in the corner of the room, and you turn on your light. A lot of times it's the light on our phones now. But you turn on a light somewhere in the house, you want to find out what was making that noise. The worst ever is if you ever feel something or you think you felt something crawling on you, and you turn on the light and you're going to rip the covers off to find it. So the purpose for the light is to reveal. Could you do it by touch? Yes. But do you want to do it by touch at that moment? No. So the purpose of this light is to reveal. He says, you are the light of the world. We are used to reveal. We are used to shine brightly. We are to shine brightly the things that are wrong. We're to shine brightly on the things that are right. If there is sin and there is something that needs to be brought to the light, we are there to shine the light. And I know sometimes people think, well, who am I to say something? Who am I to do something? That's part of the purpose that God's given us, is to shine that and shine it brightly. And to say, not because we're trying to condemn, it's condemned already. We're trying to shine on what needs to be changed, what needs to be found, and what needs to be helped. So you don't put the light under a basket. That's ridiculous. Why in the world would you do that? It's a city set on a hill, he uses the example. You see it on that hill, and it cannot be hidden. And those who are true lights of Jesus, you can't hide your light. You can't be an undercover follower of Jesus. It's not the way it works. It's going to be revealed. It's going to shine. And it says to all who are in the house. Not just a few people, but people are going to know it and people are going to see it. So we're to let our light shine. So he says in verse 16, let your light so shine. Let your light so shine before men. Let it shine. I'm gonna switch versions here real quick, and I want to read this from the Message. And I read it to you from the Message because I just love the value of this. I'll come back to the salt in just a minute because I'll read the whole thing. But he says in verse 14 of the Message, here's another way to put it. You're here to bring, to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. Okay, so if I have on a blue shirt or I have on a green shirt or a red shirt and you turn the lights out, what color is my shirt? It's not until you shine light that you reveal the color. He says, the next thing he says, God is not a secret to be kept in that verse. I love that. We shine so people can see God. So people see God in us. John said, no man has seen God at any time. But they do see God, John continues, when we love God. Like he loves. And so part of being the light of the world is to show God to this world and to reveal God to the world that we're living in. And I love it. He said, the virgin says, we're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. Everybody knows about it. Everybody sees it. So if I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? Why would God want to hide the very thing that he is using to reveal? He's wanting us to shine. He's wanting us to shine brightly. So if we're the city on a hill, there it's purpose. Notice salt had purpose. Notice light has purpose. Both of them have purpose. And the purpose always has to do with this world. He says, you are the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. It's not you're the salt for yourself, or just simply you're the salt for the church or the light for the church. No. And that's what we do sometimes. Okay, well, I'm just supposed to contain my salt and my light within my congregation or within my bubble. No, God has said, I want you to be salt and light in the earth and in this world. I've put you in this world. I've said this for years. If God had no purpose for us except for to go to heaven after we trust him, then why didn't at the moment that we put our faith and trust in him, he just take us then? And why didn't we just automatically die right then or just immediately get raptured up at that moment? the reason is he has a purpose for us on this earth. He has a purpose for us in this world. So he says, I'm not breaking you down for mourning and breaking you down to be poor in spirit and breaking you down to hunger and thirst and breaking you down to be peacemakers. I'm not breaking you down to be persecuted just because. There's a bigger purpose in this. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. I'm not going to make you a light bearer and then put a bucket over the top of you. Continuing on, it says, I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Man, let's shine. Let's just demonstrate this light. So what makes it a wonderful world? As a follower of Jesus Christ, what makes it a wonderful world? What makes it a wonderful world is we have an opportunity to shine Jesus and shine these God colors in the world so people see God everywhere they go. And so not that they see buildings on the corner that have a steeple on it, but that they see people that have Christ on them. And so you are the light of the world. And so now that I put you on there on the hilltop, shine, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. Be generous with your lives. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. I mean, let it shine so brightly that they see it. But here's the thing. We're not shining the light so they see us. Remember what we're shining the light so they see God. In the New King James, as I was reading a minute ago, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. That's why we're shining the light, not so we get more attention. We're not shining the light on us. By the way, if you just shine it, if you're in a dark room and you just shine a light on your face, that's spooky. Okay? What's the purpose of that? But if you're shining light for everybody else to see, it's helpful and useful. That's what we're called to do, is to shine this light for others. Not on us, but on him, so they glorify the Father. People are appreciative of light in darkness if you shine it to show them where they need to go. They're not appreciative of the light if the only thing you're doing is shining it in your own face so everybody sees you. So in the same way, shine that light brightly. He says in this, by opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God. I love how Matthew says that. And the fact that, this is translated, if you will, that Jesus says this, and Matthew, just recording these words, says, hey, if you open up to others, you'll open up to God. They'll open up to God. And isn't that what we want? We want people to open up to God? We talk all the time about changing the world. And so we think, well, I'll do this and that. I think we live our life as Jesus would live his life. That's world changing. Because people do not see us, they see God. And that's where the power of all of that comes from. So let your light shine so people see your good works and glorify the Father. I want to read back to you the message in Matthew 5:13. He starts off, and I'm going to close it with this. Well, let me say this. He said, you're here to be salt, seasoning that brings out the God flavors. Remember, just like the God colors, the God flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? That's really good, isn't it? How are they going to know God if they can't taste in you? And he says, you've lost your usefulness and we end up in the garbage. So I want people to know God. I want people to know David. I want people to know God. But if they get to know David as he is following Jesus, then they'll know God. So that is the challenge. But I love the very beginning of verse 13 in the message. It says, let me tell you why you are here. So two things, one on this and then one on light, and I'll wrap up. I remember years ago seeing the cover of the book The Purpose Driven Life by Rick Warren. And the reason it sold so many books is because the subtitle. If you'd have just had The Purpose Driven Life, people would have said, oh, that's interesting. But the subtitle was a question. And it said, what on earth am I here for? And that is the number one question that people have. Every person comes to a place at a point in their life that they ask, what on earth am I here for? And I love this because this is Jesus saying, I've shown you all this blessing. I've shown you all this brokenness. So let me tell you why you're here. You're here to be salt. And you're here to be light. And I love what it says about Jesus, that the darkness could not overcome the light. That's in John 1. The darkness could not overcome the light. No matter how much darkness there is, if you turn on a light, it's transformative. The darkness is absolute. Even if it's just a small little 10-watt bulb, you can have a massive building and take a 60-watt bulb, and it's amazing how it changes everything. And he said, you are the light of the world. Sometimes you feel like the 10-watt bulb in the middle of darkness, but that little light is transforming. That little light is changing everything. And God's put you here. That's why you're here. You're here to be salt. You're here to bring the flavor. You're here to bring the seasoning of God into people's lives. And I didn't even get into that salt makes people thirsty. We could deal with that too. But you're here for that. And you're here to be light in the middle of darkness. See, what we tend to do is we tend to complain about darkness. Look how dark it is in the world around us. Look how evil it is. That's the opportunity. You see, if I look at the wonderful world, I'm like, that's opportunity. That's a chance. That's a chance to shine in the midst of that darkness. And yet we like to complain about the darkness. No, you're a city set on a hill, so shine, shine, shine. So that's my challenge to you today. Embrace why you're here. Embrace that you're salt and that you're bringing flavor. Some of you bring flavor like no other place. You know, you bring like nobody else. You've got the flavor. You show God in that. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, right? So let it shine. Let that flavor, let that light, all of that God's called you to be, just be it for the glory of God. And watch what a wonderful world that is and how transforming and powerful it is. Hey, this Sunday is Easter Sunday, and it's one of those weekends that people go to church. They don't go any other time. Last year, for the first time in my lifetime and in most of your lifetimes, we didn't have church services in buildings on Easter Sunday. It was incredibly crazy. And what a weird year. This year, we get to gather together, and I know there's still restrictions in places, and I know some people are still hesitant. But I'm just thinking, hey, this is time to shine. This is time to show Jesus. You got an opportunity this weekend to talk about God like no other weekend. And so use it. Use it. That's why you are here. You're here to be salt this weekend. You're here to be light. And people are receptive to it right now. It's kind of like they're turning their dark eyes a little bit toward the light. So shine it. Shine it brightly. Go to your worship. Go to the place you worship this weekend and get with your brothers and sisters and just worship Jesus with all that you've got. But don't leave it in that building. Man, take it out of there and go take it to a really dark world. You know, it's funny because in church service, we all come together and we're all supposed to be light and we're all supposed to be salt. It ought to be the most flavorful and the most lit up place ever. But what good is it if we just keep it in there? What good is it if you keep all the salt in the salt shaker? You got to sprinkle it out. And so if the church is going to be a salt shaker, let's sprinkle the salt into this world. You with me? Hey, thanks so much for being a part today, and look forward to just marching through this. We're going to get into some tougher stuff down the road, and I know it'll be a challenge, but we need to be challenged and we need to be encouraged. Thanks for being part of Wonderful World. And we'll look forward to seeing you and being with you next week. So until then, have a great week. Have a great Easter. And happy birthday, Jordan. God bless.